In the name of the Father, and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Yesterday I spoke about science and how God truly wants everyone to respect his mind. And God encourages us to work more and more and research more in science, because he created man as a rational being, and it is our responsibility to discover more and more of the secrets of nature, which God, or the laws which God granted us. Today I want to, or I hope to speak about, can the person be satisfied, any person in the world, can be satisfied by his life here in this world? Do you believe that our life here in the world can satisfy our inner man? In fact, there is a difference between man and any other creature here in this world. Man, as I said yesterday, was created as an icon of God in his image, to be in his likeness. Therefore, he cannot be satisfied except by God himself. Saint Gregory says, if you have any diamond and you want to put this diamond in your ring, can you put it in any ring or special ring so that the diamond be fixed in the ring? Surely, when you have a diamond and it's very precious, you ask the jewelry and say to him, can you make a ring for me which is in which I can fix this diamond? The Holy Trinity is the diamond, and the soul is the icon of the Holy Trinity. We cannot fix this diamond unless the soul become an icon of the Holy Trinity. At the same time, the ring cannot be satisfied unless has the same diamond. Therefore, we are in need to be satisfied by God himself, by eternal God. And I can't say that our life here in this world can satisfy any person. I remember once a lady came from United States, and she asked me, you know, I am very happy with my husband. I have a child, very beautiful child. I am very successful. She is a physician and also her husband. And she said, I am not in need of anything. My husband loves me and I love my child. I have good communication with all who surround me in the work, in the church. Everything is okay. But I want to confess. I said, what? She said, I can't feel that I am satisfied. I am not in need of money. She is multimillionaire. I am not in need of any social activity. Everything is at hand. But inside me, I can't feel a satisfaction. Then I said to her, your heart cannot be satisfied by this temporal thing. These temporal things is just signs through which you can be in contact with the eternal one, and through eternity you can be satisfied. Even the child, the little child, cannot be satisfied except by heaven itself. I'll tell you a story. Once there was one of the atheists asked a little child, do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in the Bible or not? She said, yes. He said, can you believe Jonah was in the belly of fish? She said, yes, the Bible said that. Then he started to laugh and said, can you tell me what Jonah did while he was in the belly of the fish? She said, it is very easy. He said, what? He said, I will go ask him and I will tell you. He said, if you will go and you will not find Jonah in the heaven, what you will do? She said, oh, easy. She said, what? She said, you can ask him outside. And she is sure she will be inside in heaven, and you can ask him outside. This is the feeling of a child, that surely she will be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and she will enjoy heaven. She can speak with Jonah frankly. If Jonah is not there, she doesn't care. Jonah, if he outside, the non-believer can speak with him outside. We have to be concerned in our satisfaction through the eternal life, or through God who is eternal, who prepared the glory for us. When we speak about heaven, sometimes we imagine as if we are speaking about some imaginations. Sometimes say, oh, please speak, be in reality. We are living here on earth. When you speak about our daily experience. Truly, we have our daily experience, we live here on earth, but we cannot ignore once we will leave this land. Do you believe you will live here eternal in this world? Who will not die? Can you expect that? I can't imagine any person in the world say, I will not die. Then all of us will die. We have to, when we are here in this world, we imagine that this is the reality. And afterwards, it is not our job. When we truly become on the door or the gate of death, then we ask, oh, all what we left passed away as an imagination. And now we are before the reality. We will live eternally with God. I remember I visited a person in 1962-3, and he was very sick. He was suffering of cancer in the blood, leukemia. And at that time, you know, in the 60s, it was too hard to be healed from this sickness or illness. I asked this man, at that time I was very young, I said to this person, what about your experience towards all these 70 years? He was about 70 years old. At that time I have my Bible. He said, can you just change the page? I changed the page. He said, how much time it took from you to just change the page? I said, just 1 second. He said, oh, the 70 years passed in my life like this second. Many times I wept, many times I was rejoicing, many times I have hopes, many times I was in despair. Sometimes I was angry from some people, sometimes I loved many people. All these things passed away as you have just changed this paper. Then truly, this is a reality, we are on earth, but this reality will be extended in the eternal reality that we will be with the Lord forever. It is said that once there was a child about 6 years old, and this child was suffering of cancer. And he was suffering too much, but he always was rejoicing. The teacher of Sunday school heard about him, how he was rejoicing. He said, I will ask him. Then he went to the child, he brought to him a gift and said to him, I heard you are rejoicing. Why? He said, you don't know why I am rejoicing. He said, no. He said, I am sick. He said, because you are sick, you are rejoicing. He said, because I am very sick. He said, because you are very sick, you are rejoicing. He said, you don't know what happened today. He said, no. He said, I prayed in the morning and said, please God, don't heal me. I want to see you. why I will live more and more. I am want to see you. I like to this moment in which I will see you. I am very happy that I will leave this world. Then the teacher said to him, if you will go from this world to heaven or paradise and you didn't find Jesus Christ, he left the paradise, what you will do? He said, I will leave the paradise. He said, how is it? Will you go to the hell? He said, yes. He said, how can you live in the hell? He said, wherever Jesus is, there is no hell. There is a heaven. This is the feeling. In fact, when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and our eyes are focusing on eternal life, wherever we are, under all circumstances, we are in heaven. Even when we are in problem, in troubles, whatever is our circumstances, we will be in heaven. Believing in the Eternal One and trusting that we have special glory in heaven grants us at first, I can say, a sound personality. We'll never be upset. Whatever happened to us, even when we face death itself. St. Paul used to say that he was victorious over death, and he said, where is your sting, O death? Therefore, when we believe in eternal life, it gives us a sound personality. I am not afraid, even from death itself. I remember a story. Yeah. We are not sure, or we are sure? How can we be sure? Do you believe when you will leave this conference and you will go at home, you expect your dad will open the door for you or will close it for you? Huh? Open? Sure? How do you expect that? Do you have the keys of the door of the house, or you trust in dad? Do you think dad is more kind than God? It is your home. We have to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. He asking us to return home. His bosom is my home. I am dwelling in him, and he is dwelling in me. He abides in me, and I abide in him. Once there was a child in Dallas. It is a real story. And at the time of Eisenhower, what you call it in English, the President of the United States, Eisenhower. My English is Egyptian. Eisenhower was in his holiday in Dallas, and this child, was called Paul, said to his dad, I heard that the President, Mr. President, is here in Dallas for a couple of days. He said, yes. He said, I love him too much, but I am very sick. How can I visit him? He said, you are sick, you can't visit him. He said, okay, can we call, send to him to come and to visit me? He said, it is his holidays, he is in holiday, he wants to have rest, and it is hard to come. He says, no, I love him, surely he loves me. Then he said, okay, send a letter to him. He sent a letter. I am Paul. I am my age 60 years old. I am very sick. Sorry, I want to visit you. I love you. Can you visit me? Because I am waiting for your visit. And he sent the address in Dallas. On Sunday morning, suddenly the bell was rang. The father of Paul opened the door. He found Eisenhower at the door. And he was astonished. He said, Paul is here? He said, yes, Mr. President. Then Paul ran towards him, shook his hand, and thank you, Mr. President. I love you. He said, and I love you. Did you want to see my limo? He said, yes. He took him to the car, started to speak with him, and at the last he shaking hand, he said, thank you. And he went, he found his father upset. Dad, why you are upset? He said, I didn't prepare myself. I couldn't expect that the president will come and will visit us. It is not expected. He said, Dad, don't be upset. He didn't came for you. He came specially for me. This is the feeling of the Christian. Jesus coming specially for me. Even if all people are upset, I am rejoicing. I am rejoicing even in the last moment of my life here in this world. I am rejoicing because the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, is coming not just to visit me, but to pick me up to His glory and to be with Him on the clouds in the great procession among all the heavenly hosts to be with the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. Then believing in eternal life grants us a joy, even if the whole world are upset, if all mankind are upset. I am rejoicing because my Lord is coming surely and I will be with Him at home. Suffering, in fact, cannot even make me upset when my eyes are focused on heaven. Who was happier, Daniel or the emperor of Babylon? Who was more happier? Daniel. Put yourself in the place of Daniel. When Daniel was thrown from the den of the lions, according to one of the saints called Aphrahat the Syrian, he said, all the lions came toward this window to what? To devour him? To eat him? No. They stand on two legs and put the two legs to welcome him so that he will not be crushed on the ground. How he was thrown from a great den and he was not in harm because they received him and they started to make it, I can say, a kind of party to him. They started to do many things and he was rejoicing. Was he in a lion's den or he was in heaven itself? While the king couldn't sleep, and he asked his woman not to come at his room. And he asked the musician not to sing any song. And he was very upset. All the day he couldn't eat. And all the men of the palace were very upset. The king at that time he couldn't sleep at all. And early in the morning he went and asked, Daniel, are you living or you dead? Could your God save you? He said, oh, thank God, your majesty, God sent an angel and he shut out the mouth of the lions. It was it is a unique night in all my life. I lived among the lions as if it was a great, we can say, cirque or play. I enjoyed the speech with the angel. It was, in fact, a night from heaven itself. While the king couldn't sleep because he was upset, Daniel couldn't sleep because of his abundantly joy. According to Saint Aphrahat, when he wanted to sleep, any lion came to make himself as a pillow, to put his head on the lion so that he could sleep. He was, in fact, in heaven itself while he was in the lion's den. The same thing concerning the three young persons or young men who were in the exile, and they were thrown in the furnace, and instead of being burned, they were walking, they were singing songs, they were with the Logos himself, as the emperor said, that there was a person who's shaped like the Son of God. Then, when we believe in eternal life, we can pass over all sufferings. We can overcome any grief. We become very joyful under all circumstances. Believing in eternal life also grants us victory over our ego. Sometimes the person says, my heart is very narrow. I want my heart to be very wide. How can I open the gates of my heart to all mankind when I see in heaven from all nations, from all tongues, from all over the world, people are coming, and they all became the one, or will become the one body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are looking to heaven, even our hearts will be very wide, will be an icon of the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I want to love, but I feel some hatred, or I said, this person did something wrong with me, he insulted me, and so on. When our eyes are focused on heaven, we can get rid of our ego, and our heart will become in the likeness or similar to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the lover of all mankind. At last, through looking to heaven, or focusing our eyes on heaven, we can distinguish between love from lust. We are, in fact, an icon of God. God is love. Man can be satisfied when he is beloved and when he or she loves. And through eternal life, we truly discover God, who lover of all mankind, who is interested in me. At the same time, I feel nothing can be in my heart except to love every human being. I hope truly all of us be in the hands of God, and our eyes are focusing on heaven, and enjoy the heavenly life to live in victory. Glory be to God. Amen. Any questions? But I am a sinner. Could God love me still? Why will he love me if I am hurting him? You can't hurt him. God is not hurting at all. You hurt his feeling because you hurt yourself. When a child did something, when a child does something, hurts himself, the father feels, I am hurted. Not because he is hurted, because he loves his son. When you hurt yourself, then God becomes angry, not because he has anger, but because he loves you. He is the lover of sinners. If he is called the Savior, then surely he is the Savior of the sinners. He himself said that the healthy people are not in need of a physician, but the sick people. If you are not sinner, you are not in need of Jesus Christ. You are not in need to be in the church. The church is a hospital and not a court. God is a savior, not a judge. Don't look to God as a judge. Look to Him as your Father. When you are sinner, surely, while we are sinners, He will embrace us and He will purify us by His Holy Spirit through repentance. Any other question? Thank you very much.